Welcome back to the Compass live stream, the only and therefore the best live stream about proof of work mining. Thanks for watching. Before we jump into today's conversation, I just want to throw out a quick reminder to like and subscribe to this video. If you are watching, it helps other miners find this content and also makes us feel better about ourselves. We have two very special guests on the show today to talk about the growth and some changes in regulation for crypto mining in Kazakhstan. Over the past couple of years, Kazakhstan has been a hotbed for mining activity, and even more so now with miners and almost all hash rate leaving China. Before we get into that, though, as always, shout out to my co-host, Will. Will, thanks for coming on. This should be super fun. Our guests are awesome. I'm excited for the conversation. Thanks for being here.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks for setting this up. Really excited for this stream in particular. I've had a lot of conversations with other Kazakh miners and others in the space who are just interested in knowing about mining in Central Asia. And I think to get two experts on the stream talking about this is going to be invaluable information.
So without any further ado, two founders of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Zive Mining. Okay. So I'll take the nod as a yes. I want to know a little bit about, before we get into your specific company and some of the tweets and news that we've seen coming out of Kazakhstan, can you just give us a high level overview of the state of mining in Kazakhstan right now? Like who's operating there, how things are growing and progressing, and just like an update, I guess, on crypto mining in Kazakhstan from your perspective.
Overall, mining is booming in Kazakhstan right now. After Chinese ban, a lot of Chinese miners moved their mining machines here. And also like local guys, they were like growing for the last year tremendously. We have several large entities here. As you know, Energix is one of the, I think, biggest mining facilities maybe in the world. And we have Genesis Mining here. We have some local large miners. And I think today Financial Times published that Kazakhstan now is number two in mining after United States. So they say like 18% of total hash rate in Kazakhstan. So according to my information and my thoughts, it's nearly, it's maybe 18 to 20% because now power consumption is more than 1,000 megawatts. So, and also we face some problems from government because now they want to regulate this industry because it consumes a lot of electricity and now Kazakhstan suffers from electricity shortage. So they want to restrict or limit some mining activities now. Yes, this graph. So they published it today. And here you can see Kazakhstan like is 18% right now, I think, number two.
Yeah, also why it started in Kazakhstan, because after Soviet Union, we have left a lot of infrastructure and we had a deficit of electricity and this infrastructure left from Soviet Union. And it was like a very big deficit of electricity that country didn't use this electricity. And it was easy to start mining in Kazakhstan. Yeah. And
Can I ask a follow-up there? Like the Soviet infrastructure being left 30, 40 years later behind and being used by Bitcoin miners, like that is a turn I don't think anyone really saw coming. But it is something that has helped Kazakh miners move into the mainstream or be able to take on a lot of this hash rate. So just from other conversations I've had with Kazakh miners, a lot of these infrastructure plays don't necessarily work as smoothly as they may hope because the infrastructure is maybe not equipped for Bitcoin mining, or there might not be parts that are necessarily usable with some of these Chinese manufactured ASICs. Maybe you could dig into a little bit more about that Soviet infrastructure and how Kazakhstani miners are being able to use that infrastructure that's been left behind.
Electricity is like the same, like if you have electricity and you can prepare infrastructure for any kind of equipment, like you just need to downgrade this electricity voltage and just start mining, and depends on from which grid you need to downgrade. But right now this infrastructure became old, like it's almost 30 years that Soviet Union are like we get independent from Soviet Union, and this infrastructure like built in the 1960s years, and it's like more than 50 years old, this infrastructure, and often happens some emergency stops or like plant stops for maintenance, some equipment in power station, and during this time happens big deficits because miners, like it was also uncontrolled consuming miners of electricity, like they just give because of big profits, they start giving to easily this electricity to anybody who like apply for electricity. And now during this emergency stops happens big deficit, and a country like needs to buy some electricity from the Russia, like around last month it was around 300 megawatt.
And tariffs for electricity there is like higher than in Kazakhstan. So in Kazakhstan, government regulates tariffs. They have limits for upside, like you can't sell more than this price. But in Russia, the price is higher. So they buy from Russia, sell it here cheaper, and they have like losses. They bear some expenses. So that's why they need to cover this deficit. And they say like first, we need to restrict or limit miners because they cannot restrict other industries and households. And now it's winter season. Now some regions it's already snowing and people using more electricity. So the load of the grid is more than in the summertime. So it also like it is also a problem for the government. So they say we have to first secure household, we have to secure hospitals, schools and everything, and manufacturers, and in the least priority are miners. So that's why some of the mining farms are already disconnected from national grid. The electricity supply stopped, and people are like miners looking for options, like, well, what can they do? And government now, lawmakers, miners, and energy sector leaders are talking how to solve this problem. One of the solution can be like the higher price for miners, electricity price. Other solution is just restrictions. They have to restrict or limit some mining farms. And the third solution is kind of mix of these two first two options.
That's really interesting. I want to dig into that a little bit in just a minute. I want to show in just a minute also some videos of the farms that you guys are building. But the energy sort of spread or difference in prices that you mentioned is actually really interesting. And I imagine that that isn't necessarily something that's new, that sort of existed like that for a while. Can you, or maybe not, can you sort of dig into that a little bit more and explain like how, like the nature of those different power markets in Kazakhstan and Russia and the buying and selling power across different markets, and maybe explain a little bit more why like miners are being targeted for something that has presumably existed for a while and other industries aren't targeted as much to limit their power consumption?
Russia and Kazakhstan are totally like independent countries, and they have their own regulation of this energy market. They have their own anti-monopoly structures, which limit the price of electricity. And Kazakhstan also, and these limits are different. Russian energy ministry, they allow higher prices. So average price for 1 kilowatt in Russia, in US cents, it's maybe 5 cents. And in Kazakhstan, it's like 3.5 cents average electricity price. So what happens like during some deficits or during some emergencies, if Russian southern regions have some deficit, they buy from Kazakhstan. And if Kazakhstan have some emergency, they buy from Russia. So they kind of support each other in during the crisis. And but they have some also penalties for doing that. So if they unexpectedly consume more than they negotiated before, then they have to pay some penalties. And these penalties reflect on the price. So what happens now in Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan had deficit, so miners consume a lot of electricity, they need to buy from Russia, and they pay a lot of money for them. And then they sell it here locally, and mostly like this deficit is consumed by miners. So obviously government say, why should we like subsidize mining in Kazakhstan? So why should we spend money like all the country to buy from Russia expensive electricity and then sell it here to miners cheap electricity?
And also the prices of electricity in Kazakhstan is highly regulated. It's not like a free market. If you power supplier, you cannot, price your price and sell this electricity. Government regulates these prices. And because of, because of this, some power stations are like, they don't have an interest to improve their power stations and because of highly regulation. Of prices of electricity.
That's really interesting. I want to pick up on that note in just a minute on the sort of the regulations and the price differences and the market for energy that miners are dealing with in Kazakhstan. But first, I want to take a little bit of a detour and look at some of the farms that you guys are building right now. I know we, on Twitter, at least, we see regularly some pictures and footage and things. And I think Damien has some of that queued up for us here. So while we play some of this, do you mind just telling us what we're looking at and what you're building and give us an update on your farms in Kazakhstan?
Sure. If you see the picture, it's very clear, like the backstage of this phone is like from Soviet Union, old buildings that just left. And are not used for anything, like, and there is our containers, movable mining containers, and it's we are here building like 50 containers at a time, and each container each container has 288 spots, and for last models like S19, S17, Bitmain, Antminer. And what's miners?
And basically, we were like, we didn't expect this deficit to happen. So these farms that you're looking at, it is now stopped because they stopped electricity supply. They say like there is a deficit and we need to restrict, limit miners. So this farm now is like under some government regulations. So we have to find some other places, and it's hard now because everybody faces problems with electricity and government doesn't approve new mining farms right now. So we are also like under some stress because we put some investments in these constructions. We thought that we're going to do that this year, like, and we started building all these containers and farms, and now government says no electricity for miners, and actually we are like kind of in searching for a solution how to start this mining farm.
Yeah, and these containers, like we tried some four or five manufacturers from Kazakhstan and as well in from Russia, and the containers were we did, and also we tried end boxes, and it was not good. The most manufacturers, like, they are not miners by themselves, and they only sell these containers for mining. And we couldn't find the best containers we can use, and we had to do by ourselves because we are miners and we know exactly what problems we meet, and this is the best
solution
for containers. And
it was like iterations, like try and fail. So we first built one, we saw the minuses of it, and then we improved it, then we improved again, and now like finally we have some good solution for local climate. So because in summer it's like plus 35, in winter it's minus 35 Celsius degree. So like the weather is kind of harsh here, so we have to adapt our containers for local climate as well.
And also when we first started this mining, Bitcoin mining business, we burned out some machines, like 200 S9s, more than 200 S9s. Yeah, and after this, we pay attention to everything.
Yeah, just to jump in there, a few questions, I guess, from a very US-centric perspective. I'm wondering what the supply lines and getting all that infrastructure in place is like in Central Asia. Like those cargo ships or those cargo containers, wondering how you guys get those there. Like, what are the supply lines to be able to move that equipment there? What's it like to get all, even like the small cables and parts you need for putting a miner into a cargo container? What's it like to get all those things into Central Asia?
You mean parts? Parts for this container from the cabling and most parts we buy from Kazakhstan. We have there is some electric infrastructure stoppers and the basic things and we buy from Kazakhstan. But this year we met difficulty with buying containers. HQ containers, because it was deficit in Kazakhstan. I think not only in Kazakhstan, it was deficit around the world. And some water panels and ventilators, and we buy from China because we border with China. It's not like an issue. Some parts like a cabling for miners we buy from Russia.
So I'm curious to know a little bit more about, before we dig into some regulations and changes a little bit deeper, like obviously after China banned mining, those miners, some of them just put their machines in storage, but most of them left for other parts of the world, like the US or Kazakhstan, or parts of Russia or Latin America, et cetera. And miners coming from China to the US, in some cases, experience difficulties with different types of power and hosting contracts and all of those sorts of things. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, observing miners going from China to Kazakhstan, was there any sort of like difficulty with those miners relocating and setting up, plugging their machines into Kazakhstan from like a infrastructural perspective and from power contracts and agreements and all those sorts of things? Or was it like a pretty simple process for miners to move from China to Kazakhstan? Like we've seen headlines of many miners moving lots of machines to Kazakhstan. From your perspective, was it a difficult process or pretty simple?
I think it depends from miner to miner. Basically, it's easier to do business in Kazakhstan because it's clear how to do it. All the documents are not so complicated. So if you want to do a power agreement with power operator, you just have to register a local company. And I think it's quite easy here. So you can hire some consulting company. You will pay like $500 and they will do all the paperwork. And then you just do the contract. In terms of infrastructure, it's also like, easy because I think we have similar electrical infrastructure with China. So we even had some neighbors, like Chinese neighbors, in this farm, which is in the video. They brought 40 megawatts from China. They brought end boxes and end miners there. And also we saw some Chinese electrical infrastructure. So almost everything they brought from China and they just adapted with some maybe local transformers and switchgears, and that's it. So most of the things they brought from China. So I think it was pretty easy for them if they can react fast. So because electricity was like limited, whoever came first was served first. So
that's really interesting. I think I agree that it depends on the miner or the company, but I think in many cases it was a little bit harder for some miners to move to the US than what you're describing, to move to Kazakhstan, which is probably a reason why we saw so much hash rate go from China to Kazakhstan. And now with so much mining going on in Kazakhstan, the government regulators and state-owned power companies and everything, are starting to implement changes or propose changes, I guess, that are a little bit concerning, which is what I want to dig into more now. A couple minutes ago, at the beginning of the conversation, you mentioned how there's the disparity in energy prices and the country of Kazakhstan wants to sort of not operate at a loss from selling power and curtail miners and all these sorts of things. I think we have a Twitter thread from you recently Damien, if you can throw it up, explaining some of the language or sharing some of the language from a recent statement or proposed, quotes of from a press release of recent changes. Can you both explain sort of like a timeline of some of these changes and proposals and when all this started? Because you've tweeted about it, you know, for maybe a month or a few weeks. When did all these conversations with regulators start and all of this sort of come into play when you started noticing it? How long of a process has it been and what's been going on?
1 month ago, we visited the farm, which was in the video, to see how the building of containers is going on. So there we met our friends and they were very upset, like they were like very serious, and we invited them for lunch and talked to them what happened. They are also miners and they told us that there is going to be some huge problem, electricity deficit. At the time, they just discovered this news because they had some connections in government, and they say like they're starting to think how to deal with this electricity deficit. And first proposal was to restrict mining. So we didn't believe that at that time. So we said, no, you guys like are too serious about that. Maybe just rumors. So then we started to reach out connections and ask whether it is true or not. And they said like, it is true, like people in government like are talking about this. So after maybe 1 week or 2 weeks, they made some press release, like this Keyrock and energy minister had his speech in front of lawmakers, and they said like there is a deficit and we propose to limit or restrict miners. So it was maybe 2 weeks ago officially and 4 weeks ago like unofficially. And from that time it's developing really fast, because every maybe 2 or 3 days somebody makes some new proposal. For example, last week some lawmaker, he said like we shouldn't restrict mining, we just should increase tariffs for them. So then other guy said like we should give like only 1 megawatt for each miner, in total only 100 megawatts for whole country. So they're making different proposals, and they also put this on public discussion, and also we shared our views, and it's getting like really fast, because now they buy electricity and then sell it cheap, so they have to make decision fast.
That's really interesting, and that's what I was curious about also, if miners were actively, miners like yourselves were actively talking with these regulators and politicians, or if you're, you know, just kind of having to sit and wait and see what happens. Like, do you think they're genuinely looking for like your advice and input to try and find a good solution? Or do you think they're just going to bulldoze ahead with whatever they want to implement and sort of leave you to deal with it after it becomes law? What's your perspective there?
Actually, they are like ready. Government is ready to listen. From our group, from our company, we have a lawyer, and we asked. There is a working group. We like from lawmakers, miners, and energy leaders, and they are talking in that. In this working group, we asked to add our lawyer there, because we also want to express our problems and our proposals. So hopefully they will add him, and also other mining companies, as I know, they also like send their lawyers and their representative to participate in this discussion with the working group. So basically it's kind of working process, and I believe it will be fair in the end. Also we understand that there is also deficit, and we somehow need to solve this problem altogether.
Also mining is legal in Kazakhstan, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, president signed the law that miners are legal in Kazakhstan and they will have to pay taxes from 2022, from January. And it makes some hopes that there will be only some regulations and we'll find some best way during this negotiation. And one of these offer was like they offered miners can use electricity only from the renewable energy, but it's not the issue.
Yeah, right now maybe only 2% of the whole of the whole like power generation in Kazakhstan is renewables, and also it's very expensive comparing to other sources of energy.
That's an interesting little inside look into the energy mix in Kazakhstan, because I don't think many people have brought up that subject. Obviously, China was largely coal-powered for a good portion of the year. So interesting to see that dynamic play out. One topic that we have not kind of delved into, but it's on the flip side of the coin for Bitcoin mining in your region, is that getting miners out of Kazakhstan can be hard, apparently. Apparently, if you bring miners in, they more than that, they have to stay. Like, it's hard to get them out because of taxes and levies for moving miners out of the country. So I'm wondering if that was a reason that we didn't see more miners move into your region, because miners were a little scared of putting assets in the region and not being able to pull them back out without suffering heavy taxes or losses. So I want to leave that open for comment. I don't know if that's definitive or true or not in the general or broad sense, but I'd like to get a little more information about how easy it is to move in and out of the region compared to other places.
We don't think it's difficult, just some paperwork and you just export back these miners, but mostly miners will meet difficulty where to move these machines, because now it's really difficult to allocate them. Like, even I think in US you need to prepare some infrastructure at least, and it's not so easy to just find somewhere to relocate these machines.
And also logistics can be an issue, because yeah, Kazakhstan doesn't have a seaport, so it's like landlocked, and you have to move with them to Russia, then from Russia, from the seaport, you have to move somewhere. If you want to move for US, it can be quite expensive. And also they say like in United States you have 20% for tax for goods from China, so it's also like some expenses. Maybe easier way for them is to find some electricity in nearby countries like Russia, maybe Kyrgyzstan,
even Iran, maybe.
Yeah, yes. Or Iran is cheaper logistics.
Yeah, we have definitely seen some pickup in mining activity in Iran, not on the same level as Kazakhstan and other regions or other countries sort of located in that region. But Iran just lifted their 4-month ban on mining, and so the machines are coming back online. Excited to see that country's hash rate continue to grow. One, I want to pick up on something you guys mentioned in terms of limiting power really quick before we move on to a couple other questions. You said there was one proposal to sort of set up a limit for all Kazakhstan mining to 100 megawatts. And that's like pretty, you know, pretty severe. That's not a lot of power, relatively speaking. Do you think like there's a realistic chance of that actually happening? Or like what is, with all of these changes being proposed, what's the... And as you think through your farms being built, what's the worst case scenario that you're preparing for if, you know, everything goes poorly? And also, like, what do you think is the most likely outcome? So what's like the worst case, and what do you think is actually probably going to happen when everything's settled?
We also called it like limiting 1 megawatt per miner for in total 100 megawatt is the most stupid offer proposal from, I don't know from whom, but it was like, maybe I can't imagine how they proposed it. Like, somebody like just said, let's give 1 megawatt to each miner and just 100 in total. And somebody approved it, said yes. Okay, but then they said like it's for new miners, whoever want to register new mining company and want to do mining, they will be limited. For existing miners, it doesn't apply this proposal. But for existing miners, they will check proper documentation for each farm. So they have some requirements in terms of documentation, and they will check it. If you will not pass this this checkup, then they will limit your electricity. From my view, I think the most likely outcome, they will restrict new mining farms. They will not allow to build new farms anymore. But for existing mining farms, they will maybe let mining just for huge players, like huge mining farms. All the small and maybe medium will be subject for restriction and limits.
That's interesting, because like as you say that, in my mind, that seems backwards almost. Like if you want to limit power, you would sort of let smaller farms operate and limit the creation of new of like large mega farms. I'm not sure what your opinion on that is, but I guess, do you ever think there's a scenario with these new sort of somewhat severe power limitations that Kazakhstan could ever follow in the footsteps of China and sort of all out ban mining at some point in the future? Is that a concern for you? Or do you think it's mostly just a matter of imposing restrictions on power usage and then leaving it at that and letting miners operate? Are you concerned at all about sort of a ban like we've seen China implement earlier this summer?
For my perspective, in my opinion, for Kazakhstan, it's also a big chance renew some power grids, like make some new investments, because of power prices regulated by government, and it's very difficult to increase if prices increase, like people start complaining, and it's really regulated prices, and they can use miners by increasing price to make some investment for power generations, and they also see these chances for population of Kazakhstan is increasing every maybe 2 years, 1 million. Like a few years ago, we had a 17 million population. Right now, it's 19 million. And anyway, they will meet these difficulties without miners, because population increasing, power consumption increasing, infrastructure become older and older again, and they need I think miners is a good chance to make some investment for power generation, and they also see it. And I don't think it will follow Chinese step. And also, president approved that mining is legal in Kazakhstan, and from next year, we will pay taxes for mining.
Yeah. So as we're kind of wrapping up here, I do want to ask about the percentage of hash rate you guys think will continue to come from the region going forward. Of course, we saw that really interesting data from Cambridge this morning that talked about what percentage of the network is currently in Kazakhstan. So going forward, what percentage do you guys think it will be? Do you think it's going to be higher than it is, or kind of sit where it's at currently, just based on new tax laws coming in that won't incentivize more hash rate to come to that specific region? Curious to get your thoughts for sure.
I think it will drop because, there is some concerns about restrictions, and also U.S. building such huge mining data centers, like for 700 megawatts, for 300 megawatts, and obviously when they will deploy all these mining facilities, they will get more hash rate, and overall percentage will grow. Also, I heard that Latin America, like Paraguay, is also have a lot of electricity, and some miners are moving there, so they will also have higher share of the total hash rate. Iran also legalized it. Some other countries, when they, I think even Africa, when they realize how secure and how sustainable this mining business is right now, they will also develop some mining projects. And Kazakhstan now reached its limit in terms of electricity. It's already like 18% of total hash rate and no more electricity, so no more new farms. So obviously this percentage will dissolve in this growing industry. I think maybe fair percentage in next 5 years will be between 5 and 10% of the total hash rate.
Yeah, it will decrease because we're now consuming electricity more than we can produce this electricity, and it starts limiting like some. Also, there is some issues like switched off miners maybe during high consuming time, like maybe daytime, and during night time they can start miners like a few hours during the day, during the 24 hours, maybe 10 hours or 8 hours.
We have here some legend, like he was head of local nuclear national company, and he said like mining actually is good for Kazakhstan because we can build some renewable energy sources, for example solar panels, during the day when the like Kazakhstan consumes this electricity, household consume, the miners will use this renewable energy. But during the night, when there is no generation from solar panels, they will use from national grid, and that will maximize the profits of power generators, of transmission company, of operator. So he proposed it, and we believe that this is a good idea because it helps everyone, because everybody will utilize their maximum capacities.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And a lot of those same conversations and ideas are happening in North American mining markets too, with like intermittent power generation or sort of load balancing for other power energy sources and power grids. When there is high demand for energy, miners can use alternate sources. And when there's low demand, miners can step in and fill the gap. And the power producers can continue to make stable levels of profit, and their power generation levels can stabilize. I think the individual you mentioned is spot on. Mining is great for energy markets. It's a great activity for power grids. It stabilizes and allows continued growth. So it's exciting to hear that also, those ideas being put forward in the face of these power curtailment proposals in places like Kazakhstan. And like, as we are sort of wrapping up here, I can't thank you both enough for your time. This conversation has been super interesting to hear your perspectives on the development and growth and sort of some of the challenges that Kazakh miners are facing. I want to turn back to Zive Mining a little bit, just for one last question for you guys. With these sort of some uncertainties and some of the changes that are coming, and also obviously Zive looking to continue to grow and expand and operate normally, what does the next 6 to 12 months look like for you and your team as you're preparing continued growth and expansion and trying to bring your other farms back online, and also thinking about what could happen with these proposed changes? What are you guys expecting? What sort of growth or changes are you looking towards? What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for your team and company?
We think positively that everything will be all right. And also, like, we are building one facility off-grid, so it will utilize gas and produce electricity, and then we will not affect like national grid. We will be off grid, and so we will just continue this project. And if it will be successful in terms of business model, then we will continue to grow in that direction. So we plan also to look for renewable energy, like what can we do with this? Because government also wants to increase percentage of renewables in overall energy market in Kazakhstan. So maybe we will do some joint projects with government if they will support us. So we have a lot of plans what to do. And also we all want to visit United States maybe in January and see if there is some electricity there. So maybe we can start some facility there, because we just started to talking some electricity companies. And tariffs are also good, like 5 cents per kilowatt hour. Now it's competitive prices, so you can do mining with this price. So we are looking for options, and we are continuing to do our projects.
Yeah, even we like we have a repair center, like also very very qualified, and we repair like a lot of miners, and also it brings some at least some income for us.
Yeah, one of our guys recently was visiting Bitmain training center in Georgia, and he was like the best student of the course. So they immediately say, maybe you should like come and open repair center here, because a lot of miners are already operating, and the repair center doesn't follow the growth of the miners. So a lot of miners, and they need more repair centers. So they asked if he want to do something in the United States. He came back and said it to us, and we said, why not? Maybe you should go there, open repair center, then train some people and do repairs for these large facilities like 700 megawatt. Obviously, they will need some repairs.
Also, our software team, we have just our team right now in Dubai blockchain conference. We have a booth over there, and we are launched a new product just today. It's mini farms. Like we put like 100 machines, and everyone can buy from these machines shares, like and can earn from because we made cloud hosting, and it was some issues because some machines can be broken, and like for one for purchasing for one machine and it is dead, it is big loss for the buyer. For our client, and that's why like we decided 100 machines, even if 2-3 machines dead, only 3% of income they will lose, and we are thinking positive and not stopping our plans. Okay, cool.
That's awesome. Those sound like great plans. And I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I love seeing all the commentary and pictures and videos of the things you guys are building and the growth. And definitely when you come visit the US, if you're in Texas or Austin, that's where I'm based. So let me know and we can grab some beers and barbecue. And at some point it would be awesome, you know, to come over there also and see some of the farms you're building and some of the cool stuff you guys are working on. But thank you so much for coming on and talking with me and Will about what you're building, about some of the regulations and policies you're facing and working through. Very bullish on Zive, on Kazakh mining. Despite maybe some of the challenges that you're facing short term right now. And for everyone watching, both of these awesome gentlemen are on Twitter. Their Twitters are in the show notes below this video. You can go follow them, keep up to date with news and growth and changes coming out of Kazakhstan. Also like and subscribe to the video and the channel. It helps other miners find this video, this content. It makes us feel good about ourselves. But most importantly, thank you for watching. To both of you gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the live stream. It's been a ton of fun. Will, thanks for being here. And that's a wrap for today. It's been fun talking about Kazakhstan. We'll be back Friday with another stream. So we'll see you then. But for today, that's all we've got for you. Thanks for watching.